Care Home Services, your hometown choice for plumbing, heating, and air. Clogged drains, putting a damper in your day? We'll clear any drain with an accessible cleanout for just $89. We'll even throw in a free camera inspection. Don't let a clogged toilet or a stopped-up sink be a pain in the drain. Give us a call today at 624-1401. That's 624-1401.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
Hi, it's Felicia from Felicia Suzanne's Restaurant. Looking for something different for this year's holiday party? Let me come and cater your party. Or join us at Felicia Suzanne's. Enjoy a special evening with items such as organic chicken crepes, shrimp and grits, and end with my signature bread pudding. Start planning your New Year's Eve by joining us at Felicia Suzanne's. Call me at 901-523-0877 or go to our website, FeliciaSuzanne.com, for more information.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruptions.
My daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope to God, if you're a Memphis fan, you didn't put your faith in either the replay officials from Saturday's Memphis Temple game or in the AAC men's basketball coaches, because the replay officials, if you're a Memphis fan, they probably let you down on Saturday. And then these AAC men's basketball coaches this morning announced that more of them believe that Houston will win the AAC men's basketball regular season title than your University of Memphis Tigers. Meantime, rest in peace to Blue Penis Court. It's gone. Wise decision by the University of Memphis. I'll tell you why. We're going to touch on all these things momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. 425, Jonah Jordan's going to join me. He covers the University of Memphis for the Daily Memphian. Lot to talk to with him, including everything I just mentioned. Saturday's football game, preseason AAC poll, rest in peace to hashtag Blue Penis Court. Jonah Jordan's going to join me in about 20 minutes. Finish that. I usually do four notable stories at 444, at which point I typically discuss four previously undiscussed stories, but today I'm just going to stick with these Memphis topics. Hashtag Blue Penis Court, the replay from Saturday's football game, the preseason AAC poll. I'll take your calls at 444. As always, please don't make me regret it. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always, then I'll eventually do dinner to go and I'll get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with Bennett, the University of Memphis, because there are three different Memphis stories getting a lot of attention today. One is the controversial call reversal in Saturday's Memphis Temple football game that resulted in the Tigers taking their first loss of the season. It cost them their national ranking. That's one story. Another one is that Memphis has done away with its blue ding-a-ling court. Mm-hmm. And yet another one is that Houston got more first-place votes in the preseason AAC poll that was published earlier today at AAC Media Day in Philadelphia. The Tigers in Houston actually got the same number of points, so they are co-favorites. But Houston got more first-place votes, which means you don't have to be a pollster to figure this out. Houston was picked lower in other people's ballots than Memphis. Memphis was probably, I'm assuming, a consensus top two. Like, you either had Memphis and somebody or Houston and Memphis, 1-2 on your ballot. And then there were some other ballots somewhere that probably had something like Memphis, Cincinnati, Houston, Memphis, Wichita, Houston, Memphis, Cincinnati, Wichita, Houston, something like that, that pushed Houston down to the point where they got the same amount of votes, even though they got more first-place votes than Memphis. But still, a bit of surprising news that Memphis is not the outright favorite to win the AAC title, given the talent in place, given that basically every piece preseason ranking plus the odds in Las Vegas to win the 2020 national championship all suggest that Memphis is the superior team. So let's take these one by one, starting with football over the weekend.
Okay.
Bennett, I'll ask you first.
Oh, goodness.
Controversial call in Saturday's Memphis Temple game. At this point, I think everybody understands the deal. Memphis is down 30-28. Memphis is driving. Brady White is scrambling. Brady White at least appears initially to complete a pass to Joey Magnifico that would give Memphis a first down at about the Temple 30-yard line. And then they go to the replay monitor, which was not surprising. I assume they're going to replay that. But they ultimately reverse the call. They make it an incomplete pass. They give the ball to Temple. And though Memphis got the ball back, did not get the ball back with enough time, too much field, to get in field goal range again. And so that is that. Temple wins, Memphis loses. The Tigers now have one loss, and the Tigers are no longer nationally ranked. Bennett, did the two questions. Was it a catch? That's A. Was it a catch? B, even if it was not a catch, should it have been overturned?
I'll say yes, it was a catch, and it should not have been overturned. And the reason I think it was – it doesn't even matter if I think it was a catch or not. My whole thing is you cannot tell by that video replay if he caught that ball or not. And so if the call on the field is it was a catch, you got to let that call stand.
You and I are in basic agreement here. I actually – so just some context here. On Saturday, I was bouncing around a little bit, right? So I was in my car listening to the game as the fourth quarter was unfolding.
Okay.
Shouts to my homeboy, Dave Walosha. So I'm listening to Wolo and Jarvis, and they immediately both, like, that's a catch, right? So I'm trusting them, and they're trusting their own eyes, plus the initial replays that you see, none of which suggest it's not an actual catch.
Right.
So they were shocked, just like Mike Norvell was shocked, just like the television announcers were shocked when the officials come back and announce that the call is being reversed, incomplete pass, Temple football. So I agree that to the blind eye or the naked eye, in real time, it looked like a catch. Although it is worth pointing out, if you go back and watch the replay, the people with the best vantage point, probably the people on the Temple sideline, in terms of like seeing it in real time, and there's a dozen of them waving it off. Like immediately, like the incomplete, the ball hit the ground, incomplete pass. Now, they play for Temple. Or they work for Temple. So
right.
I get it. Maybe their instincts are just to say incomplete pass no matter what. But I did notice that quickly. Like the people with the best vantage point, because the replays we mostly got on television, they have Joey Magnifico's back to the camera. The ball is not, you can't see it clearly. And so I'm assuming at that point, if everybody's saying it's a catch and there's nothing I've seen to make it appear that it's not a catch, it's probably just going to stand. Because I'm looking at it on my phone as I'm waiting for them to announce whether the call stands, is confirmed, or overturned. And yet, I will say that there is another image with a different angle that has been magnified and slowed down. And if you're doing nothing but looking at that, as long as I'm being honest, looks like the ball hit the ground possibly before Joey Magnifico possessed the ball. And that's the rule, by the way. The ball is allowed to touch the ground and still be a catch as long as you possessed it before it touched the ground.
Right, which clearly doesn't happen because it bobbles around in his hands when he's rolling.
I don't know if it clearly didn't happen, by the way, then that's irrefutable evidence you can overturn it.
Right.
I'm not sure that it clearly – I'm not sure he clearly didn't possess the ball before it hit the ground. I'm fairly certain the ball did hit the ground. And I guess I'd bottom line it this way. I can understand – if forget how the rules are written, forget the call on the field, I just show you that, and I say, all right, here's my question. Did he possess the ball before that ball hit the ground? If your answer to me is, I don't think so, I get that. Two people can reasonably see that differently, but I totally get how you could watch that very specific replay and reach the conclusion, I don't think he possessed it before the ball hit the ground. Therefore, it's an incomplete pass. I get that. I don't know how, if you called it a catch on the field, you can go back and even look at that
right.
and say it's irrefutable that the ball hit the ground before he possessed the ball. I can see how you might lean that way and go, you know what, I think he probably didn't have possession before the ball hit the ground. But irrefutable? I don't know if it's I don't know if it's irrefutable. I think this is one of those situations where whatever was called on the field needed to stand.
Mm-hmm.
And not just because that's what the video shows me, but because just from a practical perspective, probably the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
By ruling that an incomplete pass, particularly under questionable circumstances, when the way the rules are written, you should have to have irrefutable evidence that it was an incomplete pass, given that you called it a catch on the field, and I'm not sure that you did. By then ruling it an incomplete pass, you effectively end the game.
Exactly.
The game's over. You have ended the game on something that is very, very questionable. The outrage that the American Athletic Conference and its officials and its commissioner have received based on reversing the call is way more than it would have received if they'd have just said, call stands. You know, we looked at it, we don't know.
It's hard to tell.
Hard to tell. Call stands. Temple fans would have been upset, but I think Temple fans, the reasonable ones, would have also understood. Like, maybe they got it wrong on the field, but because they got it wrong on the field, it's hard to turn it around based on this video evidence. I don't think Temple fans would have been as outraged if the call stood as Memphis fans were that the call was overturned. And if you accept that as a fact, I think it's a fact. I'm putting some faith in Temple fans here, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. If you'll accept that and then also recognize when you reverse the call, you took the possibility of winning away from Memphis. By letting the call stand, you would not have taken the possibility of winning away from Temple. We still got a game to play.
Yep.
It's first and 10 at the 30. I don't know if you watch college kickers much, including this weekend, but they ain't guarantees from there or anywhere else.
Right.
So Memphis still had work to do, and then Memphis still had a kick to make. You could, in theory, allow the players to settle that on the field. But by reversing the call under questionable circumstances, you take all of that off the table. You basically just decide at that point, even though I think this video shows an incomplete pass, but I'm not 100% sure the video shows an incomplete pass, I'm going to end this game anyway. Incomplete pass, Temple ball, takeover on downs, Temple wins, Memphis loses. Now you're outside of the top 25. The ramifications here are massive. And so I just think they messed it up. Now, I know Mike Oresko, the AAC commissioner, said earlier today that, you know, yes, there had to be irrefutable evidence and that the officials thought that there was. And perhaps they've seen something I haven't seen. I know that's one theory flying around. But based on every single frame that's available on Twitter somewhere, I totally get why if you just took the clip, sent it to somebody randomly, and said, I just need you to tell me, here's the rule, is this a catch? I understand how somebody could say, I don't think that's a catch. But I don't understand how somebody could say, I so much believe that's not a catch, and it's so crystal clear to me that I'm going to overturn a call that is going to decide a game. I'm not certain they got the call wrong. In other words, I can totally get why somebody would think it's an incomplete pass. But given that it was called a completion on the field, I don't know how you overturn it, given all of the variables that are in place. I'll talk to Jonah Jordan about that in the next segment. Second big story, Memphis is doing away with his ding-a-ling court.
Yep.
And this is smart. We talked about it last week. Was Memphis Madness last week?
I think it's 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Boy, time flies when you're getting bored, I guess. As soon as they unveiled it, it was, I don't know if it was actually trending on Twitter, but it was getting more attention than most unveiling of college basketball courts gets.
It was.
And that's because it looked like on either end of the court, they had painted Papa Smurf's ding-a-ling, Cookie Monster's ding-a-ling, a big blue ding-a-ling. And it was just bad. And even if you didn't see it immediately, once somebody points it out to you, you can't not see it. And so the point I made literally the day after Memphis Madness is you just got to go in and fix this.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's unfortunate. I know you have to admit a mistake. I guess there's a cost attached to it, though I'm not certain of that. But either way, you just can't have a ding-a-ling court all year long. Like, unless that's what you want every time you're playing. You got this amazing NBA facility, 18,000 people downtown, nationally ranked team, possible number one pick in the draft, people watching your game and talking about the blue ding-a-ling on your court. Like, yeah. You don't need that. And so they were smart just to – Jeff even asked me, like, what would you do? I'd fix it. That's what I told him.
Shape off the tip.
I'd just do something with that tip. I mean, at least the version we saw today, they ain't got rid of the veins yet. I think I'd also get rid of the veins. I mean,
I'm cool. I think literally getting rid of the tip, like, saved it. I think it looks great now.
It's fine now. It's fine. But I would also get rid of the veins. But it's fine now. It's not crisp. It's not obvious it's a blue ding-a-ling anymore.
No.
That part has been certainly improved or lessened. But I would... You put me in charge, I'd also get rid of the veins.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. To the extent that they're just trying to erase the image of a ding-a-ling, two ding-a-lings from their court, I think they've effectively done that, even if they stop where they're at. And I know that there were some people arguing, like, you know, what are you, 13 years old? Or, so you think ding-a-ling jokes are funny?
Yes.
And, yeah, there's two different answers to that question. No, I'm not 13 years old, but I do think ding-a-ling jokes are funny sometimes, you know? Like, because they are sometimes.
Yes.
And when you see big blue ding-a-lings on a basketball court, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. And people were going to goof on it forever. And so it didn't matter whether you saw it or whether you even understood it. It just matters whether it's a thing. And then once it became a thing, you got to address it. A little bit like, remember when Michael Jordan showed up with that Hitler mustache?
Yes.
Okay. It's the craziest thing in the world. Like, here's Michael Jordan. He just shows up, got a Hitler mustache all of a sudden.
What's
right?
happening there?
What are you doing? I promise you... Whenever Mike went to the, wherever he goes to get shaved, because I'm sure he goes somewhere, couldn't possibly do that himself, I'm confident he didn't sit down in the chair and say, you know, take everything off the top, and then, I don't know, maybe leave a Hitler mustache. Like, I'm sure those were not his instructions, right? And he probably looked in the mirror, didn't see it, went home, didn't see it. And then went in public, got photographed, and all over social media, it's like, holy crap, Michael Jordan's got a Hitler mustache.
Yeah.
Now, at that point, once it became a thing, Michael Jordan had a couple of options. He could continuously explain, literally every time he was photographed, every time he's out in public, constantly be out there trying to explain to people, this ain't a Hitler mustache, this is my thing. That's one option.
Mm-hmm.
Or just get rid of it. Just go, you know what? I wasn't going for a Hitler mustache. When I look in the mirror, I don't see a Hitler mustache. But given that everybody else sees the Hitler mustache, and every time they look at me, that's what they're going to talk about, considering I'm, like, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, maybe I should just get rid of it, chalk it up as an L, and get on to being a crying Jordan meme or something. I don't know. But, like, let's just... You can't fight that fight every day. These blue ding-a-lings were the equivalent of Michael Jordan's Hitler mustache.
Yeah. Once it was said, they were embedded in everyone's brain.
Doesn't matter. I know. I promise you, the people in charge of designing this court were not going for blue ding-a-lings. That's not what they were shooting for.
Right.
I promise you, they designed it. They put that down on FedEx Forum. They looked at it. They were proud. They didn't see ding-a-lings. But when the rest of the world looked at it, all we saw was blue ding-a-lings. And once all we're seeing is blue ding-a-lings, it doesn't matter what you saw. It doesn't matter what your vision was. It doesn't matter what your intent was. You got to get rid of the blue ding-a-lings.
Yeah.
Same way Michael Jordan got rid of the Hitler mustache. You don't see Michael Jordan walk around in 2019 with a Hitler mustache, do you?
No.
And now, thank God, you won't see Memphis playing on a basketball court with two blue ding-a-lings. So that's one other story. And then the biggest story of the day, I think, is the preseason AAC poll.
Yeah.
Because Houston got more first-place votes than the University of Memphis, even though the University of Memphis is in possession of the number one recruiting class in the country with the number one recruit in the country and a preseason top 25 team, according to most, preseason top 10 team, according to some, whereas I really don't think you can find a single preseason ranking of college basketball teams that has Houston above Memphis.
What's going on there?
I really don't think you can find one. And yet, when the AAC coaches were asked to vote for the conference champion, more of them voted for Houston than Memphis. So that's a reasonable question. What's going on there? It's clearly one of a few different things. It is a wait-and-see approach with an inexperienced coach and an experienced roster. And I don't even think that's crazy.
I don't either.
But it's undeniable at this point. I mean, the coaches have – they've spoken with their vote. Nobody would try to argue that the Memphis roster is immensely more talented than any other roster in the AAC. No person would – like, if you think I'm lying, go tell Houston to try to have a pro day like Memphis had a few – last week.
Right.
Go tell Cincinnati to have a pro day like Memphis had last week. They had more than 50 NBA front office executives at the Memphis practice facility last week. Houston couldn't get that, even though they're in an NBA city. Cincinnati couldn't get that. No other school in the AAC could get that. So I won't even entertain the idea that somehow other schools are just as talented, certainly not more talented, than Memphis. It's not true. There's nothing you can base that on. Not recruiting rankings, not NBA draft boards, nothing. But they are younger than most, and they do have a more inexperienced coach than most. And it seems pretty clear that even if I believe in them, and Seth Davis at The Athletic believes in them because he's got them top 10 as well, and various other people ranking preseason basketball teams believes in them, not everybody does. And, I know Mark Giannotto at the Commercial Appeal, Giannotto and Jeffrey, wrote a column earlier today predicting that Memphis will shove this back in those coaches' faces. And I agree. I think Memphis is going to win the league. But one of the points Mark made in the column is that, like, these AAC coaches, they should know better. You know, they recruit all these players. They might not recruit these exact players, but they know who they are. They should know better. And what's interesting is, what if they do know better?
Oh, and they don't care.
Like, what if – well, it's not – like, what – Mark's point was they should know more than anybody else. My point is, what if they do? Like,
yeah.
And my point is this. Nobody coached against Penny Hardaway last season more than the AAC coaches, right? Just by definition. What if they say, I don't see it. Like, yeah, he's got good young players, but I don't know. This is a league with Greg Marshall. It's a league with Kelvin Sampson. I'm still going to be skeptical of the second-year head coach. Like, what if that is what they're saying with their vote? Like, Mark's point was they should know better. What if they do? What if that's what they're saying? We do know better. We're not going to trust a guy who was coaching high school 2 years ago to go win a league with Greg Marshall and Kelvin Sampson. What if that is what they're saying? And if that is what they're saying, it's not completely a unique opinion to AAC basketball coaches. There are plenty of other people who think that. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again because it's true. I haven't had one coach, not one, mock the idea of Penny Hardaway as a high-major basketball coach in the past year. When he initially got hired, there were skeptics. Some of whom were loyal to Tubby, others who just thought it was crazy to turn a program of this magnitude over to a coach with no college coaching experience whatsoever. But with the way last season unfolded and the way the recruiting class came together, those people either flipped or they just shut up. There's really nobody out there, at least vocally, to me, questioning. But it's hard to come to any other conclusion with this vote. Other than it could possibly also be something Penny has touched on in the past, which is these coaches are jealous of an NBA staff, of what we're doing in recruiting, of the impact we've been able to make so quickly. It could be just rooted in jealousy. And I'll acknowledge that that's a possibility. I don't know that I would chalk this up to that, but I'll acknowledge that I won't rule it out. But I think more than anything, it's just that, and I said this with Christian Fowler earlier because he asked me for a quote for a piece he did for 24/7 Sports, Go Tigers Go. I think more than anything, this is the truth. I think people just don't know what to do with Memphis. And the reason is because we've never seen anything like this.
Right.
It is such a unique situation. When's the last time an NIT team enrolled the number one two? Let me just forget the last time. How often does a NIT team enroll the number one recruiting class in the country? Not very.
Right.
So that's something that's happened here that's unusual. How often does a second-year coach enroll the number one recruiting class? Not very. How often does a second-year coach get the number one prospect in America? Number one pick in the NBA draft? Not very. How often does the number one recruiting class, led by the number one player in the country, enroll at a school outside of the traditional power structure of the sport? Not very. When's the last time a second-year coach won a league that features two other former Final Four coaches?
I don't know.
Maybe never. Maybe never. And when's the last time, or how often does, a school's primarily starting five freshmen, how often have they won a conference championship? Never. It's never happened. As I detailed in the column a few weeks ago, there's only been three teams in the history of college basketball at the high major level primarily start five freshmen. It's the Fab Five and two different John Calipari Kentucky teams. Mm-hmm. None of them ever won a conference championship. None of them ever got better than a five seed in the NCAA tournament, but two of them did play for the national championship. So you can cut that however you want. But it's all true what I just said. Now, if you want to try to provide context, the Fab Five played in the Big Ten, not the AAC. Kentucky played in the SEC, not the AAC. All of that's true. I acknowledge that's how this is a little different than Michigan with the Fab Five and the two Kentucky five freshman teams. Like, that's why this one's a little harder to gauge. If you told me this exact Memphis roster was getting ready to play in the SEC or the Big Ten, I wouldn't pick them to win either one of those leagues. But given that they're about to play in the AAC, it is literally something we've never seen before. The number one recruiting class in America, starting five freshmen, playing in a league that's no better than the sixth or seventh league in the country. It's such a unique set of circumstances. And so if you're trying to actually get an answer to why coaches are maybe a little hesitant to just crown Memphis in the preseason, it's because you would be asking Penny Hardaway and this Memphis team to do something that is very rare in college basketball and in certain circumstances, completely unprecedented. Meantime, you're not really asking Kelvin Sampson to do anything he hasn't already done. Everybody makes a big deal about everything Houston lost last season. They lost a lot. But I wonder how short people's memories are. Because you know what Houston lost off last season's team? Three of the top five scores. That's what they lost. Three of the top five. So Houston lost a lot. I agree. You know what Houston lost year before? Three of the top five scores. Went to the NCAA tournament in 2018. Mm-hmm. Won 27 times. Lost three of the top five scores. Rob Gray, Devin Davis, Wes Van Beck. Come back. They went 33-4 last year. 16-2 in the league. Won the AAC. So they've already, like, just last year, they lost three of the top five scores, came back, and won the league, 16-2. So to me, that's what's interesting. Let me be clear. Give me a vote. I'm voting Memphis. Clear cut, number one in the AAC. I got Memphis preseason top 10. I don't have Houston ranked. But whereas you are asking Penny Hardaway and Memphis and this roster to do something it's never done, and in some cases has never been done by anybody, take a team primarily starting five freshmen, go win a conference championship. Never been done. You're not asking Kelvin Sampson to go do something that A, has never been done, and B, he hadn't done himself. Just last year, he lost three of his top five scores, came back, won the league. I don't think he'll do it again, but it's not crazy, outlandish to think that he might. Similarly, this time last year, Kentucky was, I think, preseason number two in the AP poll. Basically, everybody picked Kentucky to win the SEC. If you would have picked LSU to win it, borderline top 30 team, people would have thought that was crazy. But you can go back and look at the league standings from last year. Guess who won the league? LSU. A borderline top 30 team won the same league that a preseason top five team was in. None of this is outlandish as some people want it to be. I think it's wrong. It's not the way I voted. But if you're asking me to understand it, yeah, I can understand it. Jonah Jordan's up next.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support, it's time to take your business beyond. Right now, get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Plus, we offer solutions like powerful Wi-Fi that thinks about what customers want and automatic internet backup that can keep your business running. So what are you waiting for? Get the internet your business really needs. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 11/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited up to 8 hours.
If you love to play golf but hate the expense of each round, this is Gary Parrish reminding you that iRing Golf and Country Club has a deal for you. Their low-cost memberships come with unlimited championship course play and access to the driving range, pool, and fitness center. It's fun for the entire family. Just sign in and you sit. And if you're 35 or under, you can take advantage of the junior executive offer that's only $140 a month. And if you join now, it's only $100 a month from now until December for any membership, limited membership excluded. That's at iRing Golf and Country Club because you deserve the country club lifestyle, located off Hex Cross near Shelby Drive, online, iringgolfcc.com.
Things are looking up for those who have had problems winning in the past because J.A. Cavalier is giving it away. J.A. Cavalier guarantees 7 winners against the spread out of every 10 he releases. 70% winners. He is the only handicapper good enough or confident enough to release his winners right on a recording. His games will do the talking, not his salesman. Call now for J.A. Cavalier's Pro Football Lock of the Week. 800-679-4455. The single biggest play J.A. Cavalier will have all week. You get it tonight. And you get it absolutely free on a recorded message. 1-800-679-4455.
I just called and it's on there right now. I didn't speak to a salesman. I didn't leave personal information.
I simply called 1-800-679-4455.
And got his Pro Football Lock of the Week absolutely free.
That's 1-800-679-4455. 1-800-679-4455.
It doesn't take a focus group to name a Papa John's pizza with 5 of our best meats. Just take a ginormous bite and blurt out the first thing you think of. Meats! With an S. Meats, plural. Used in a sentence, it would be like, holy cow, that's a lot of meats! Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna go enjoy the meats of my labor. Try large meats or works for just $12. Only at Papa John's. Not valid with other discounts. Fees and taxes extra. Prices may vary.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
If you like pina coladas, get
spilled your pina colada? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker and is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to getting caught in the rain.
If you like pina coladas,
Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
The Hack is back with today's Perks Deal. Discounted tickets to the Haunted Web of Horrors. Experience all 5 terrifying haunts in one location. Get yours at GetMyPerks.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We got a lot going on with the University of Memphis today. Houston received more first-place votes in the AAC preseason men's basketball poll. That was surprising. Like I said, I don't think it's outlandish, but it is surprising. It's not the way I would have voted. Meantime, the Tigers are still reeling to some degree from a controversial reversal of a call in a football game this past Saturday that cost them the possibility of an undefeated season. And rest in peace to the Blue Ding-a-ling court at FedEx Forum. It is no more. I'm going to take your calls on all of those things. You can talk about any of them if you want. The next segment, Jeff Carkins will join me a little after 5, but right now he is joining me from Philadelphia, where he was A, at Memphis Temple, but B, at AAC Media Day. It's Jonah Jordan. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, using food and wine to create memorable times.
All right, Jonah, I know you're at the airport, so I won't keep you too long. We'll start with football and then transition to basketball. First, your thoughts on Memphis Temple and the call reversal heard around the world.
Well, I mean, I guess the first thing is, I think Norvell talked about it today, is they lost that game way before that, I think. I think they should have never been in that position. If you don't turn the ball over 4 times in that game, you probably win by 2 or 3 touchdowns. They're better than Temple. They are. It's plain and simple. I think if you don't turn the ball over, if Brady White doesn't make those mistakes, if you don't have the messed up handoff, you win the game by a lot, because that offense was killing Temple after that first quarter. And then I know people want to come up with conspiracy theories. People are upset. People are saying the conference kind of screwed them a little bit. Yeah, I think there was a mistake on that call. It was a bad call. If I have my conspiracy hat on, I really wonder if the replay official even knew that they called it complete on the field, because there seemed to be a disconnect between the replay official, the conference, and what the referees called on the field. I think maybe he was just saying reverse and didn't realize that it wasn't ruled a catch on the field. It's just, there's been a disconnect all over the place. Oresco came out today and said that he has seen it, and he said it wasn't a catch, yada, yada, yada. But it was obvious to everyone, even the simple people. I was up there in the press box. I heard their school officials. I heard everyone. Nobody thought that wasn't a catch. I've seen a million angles of it. It was a catch.
I'm talking to Jonah Jordan here from the Daily Memphian. I guess what I would argue is that once you call it a catch on the field, and there's no angle I've seen, and I've seen everything that's available on social media, there's no angle I've seen that gives you enough to turn it over. But if you do take the slow motion angle where you can see the ball, you know, and Joey both going to the ground, if that's all you know, if I just send you that clip and I say, did he possess this ball before this ball hit the ground? I could see, if I'm being honest, I could see how you might say no, but I don't see, given the way the rules are written, how you could see enough to overturn it, given that you had already called it a catch. This is one for me that whatever you caught on the field probably needs to stand, and that's why it's unfortunate that it didn't.
Yeah, it really cost them a chance to win the game. I know they got the ball back, so it was 48 seconds left in the game. And, I mean, they couldn't even move the ball down the field at that point. I think everybody was kind of done at that point. But, yeah, they should have just had it stand, had it be a catch. I mean, Memphis probably wins the game at that point, which is unfortunate. It cost them an undefeated record. They would have been bowl eligible. It would have been the first time they started 6-0 since 2015. I mean, it's really disappointing. I know they're still dealing with it. They want to move on to Tulane, and now not have their season not be about that moment, and have the rest of their, like, the next 3 weeks not come back. Hey, if we had caught that, everything would have been different. So they just got to pick up and move on, and I know Memphis fans have to do the same thing, and it's really difficult.
Talking to Jonah Jordan from the Daily Memphian. Let's go to basketball. The big news today, AAC preseason poll was published. We've got co-favorites Memphis, Houston. That was surprising to me. Even more surprising, Memphis did not get as many first-place votes at Houston. Like I said in the opening segment, I know you didn't hear it, or I assume you didn't hear it because you're traveling. I don't think it's outlandish to put a foot down and say, I trust Kelvin Sampson to win another conference title, given that he just won one last year after losing 3 of his top 5 scores, same as he is heading into this season. Like, I don't think it's outlandish, but I do think it's wrong. I think Memphis is to me, the obvious pick, even if picking Houston and Kelvin Sampson is not the most ridiculous thing in the world. How surprised were you to see the way those numbers added up this morning?
I mean, when we found out, we were all shocked. I couldn't believe it. I just assumed Memphis would be number one. But after asking around, talking to coaches, asking people about it, it definitely seemed that it came down to Memphis has got a lot of freshmen. A lot of those guys don't trust freshmen. A lot of the coaches in the conference have dealt with freshmen in the past, even though they haven't dealt with freshmen at this level, I would argue. they've dealt with freshmen before, and that kind of factored into the decision-making. And then we were talking to Brian Gregory, coach of down at USF, and he said, if I could pick one coach in the nation to win me one basketball game, if I had to win one basketball game for my life, I would pick Kelvin Sampson. And he said, I don't think many other people would pick a different coach. And I think that's what it came down to in the end.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I know that a lot of people have taken it as a slap in the face to Penny, and perhaps there is some of that, but I think just as much of a possibility is that these coaches know how good Kelvin Sampson is. Like I pointed out in the opening segment, it is true that Houston is losing three of its top five scorers from last season's team. And Kelvin even made the point earlier today, like, we lost four starters. I don't know how you can be picked to win the league, you know, when you're losing that. Well, the point I made is that, you know, 2 years ago they lost three of their top five scorers. I know it's different, but, like, what I'm telling you is true. The last season's team was missing three of the top five scorers from the previous season's team, and they still went out and won 33 games and went 16-2 in the league and won the conference championship. And so I thought this was an interesting way to put it. And, again, I don't subscribe to this, but if you wanted to make this argument, this is how you make it. We're not asking Kelvin Sampson to do anything other than what he's already done as recently as last season, which is win the AAC title after losing three of his top five scores. We are asking Penny Hardaway, on the other hand, to do something that has never been done, and that's go try to win a conference championship, primarily starting five freshmen. So, again, I think that's not my argument, but I can hear that argument, and even though I would pick Memphis to win the league, I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world for coaches just to come down on the side of, man, Kelvin Sampson's a special coaching talent. I'll believe in that guy until he gives me a reason not to.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that either. I mean, I've watched Kelvin Sampson do this before. I mean, I would have obviously voted for Memphis 1. I think Houston probably third. I think Cincinnati's going to be pretty good this year. I love Cumberland. They seem to be a pretty stout team. But, yeah, I mean, he's done it in the past. There's no reason to believe that he can't do it again.
Wrapping up here with Jonah Jordan from the Daily Memphian. Last thing before I let you go. Now, you know, you take anything you can when you're in sports and you use it as quote-unquote bulletin board material. That seems to be the consensus today, that now if Penny needed extra motivation to, A, humble, you know, James Wiseman in a freshman class that has shown a willingness to be very, very, sure of themselves. If you needed something to humble them, something to motivate them, perhaps this can be that thing. Do you think that works effectively with this batch of players?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, Precious said he told Drew Hill of the Daily Memphian, Drew wrote it today. He was like, yeah, I guess if they said I'm second team or I'm not on the second team or the first or second team, I guess they're right. He's like, they're the experts. I mean, he didn't seem to care. On the other hand, James Wiseman was riled up about it. James was like, this is ridiculous. I can't believe Damian and Boogie and Precious aren't all on here. He was fired up about it. So, yeah, I guess it depends on who you are. It depends on the personalities. They have a bunch of guys on that team who may not need that. Like Alex Lomax may not need that extra motivation, but maybe James does sometimes, or maybe Precious does. Maybe these young guys do need that little extra something every once in a while. I know Tyler doesn't, but maybe it'll help the younger guys. That's how I think about it. Maybe in the long run, maybe you're in the middle of a game or middle of nothing September when in conference play, maybe it'll help them a little bit.
That is Jonah Jordan from the Daily Memphian. Make sure you're reading him because he wrote a AAC Media Day notebook over at dailymemphian.com. So you can check that out. And then, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at underscore Jonah Jordan. That's at underscore Jonah Jordan. Thanks for being here, buddy. Travel safely, and I'll see you again real soon.
Appreciate that, man. See you later.
All right, bye-bye. That's Jonah Jordan live from the airport in Philadelphia after covering AAC Media Day earlier today. That's another thing I made note of but didn't mention in the opening segment, which is that James Wiseman is the only Memphis player on the preseason all-conference team.
Yeah.
Again, I think that's wrong. Precious Achiuwa should be on there just based on the fact that he's a five-star prospect who's a projected lottery pick. Like in almost any league, that guy should be recognized in the preseason, but especially in a league like the AAC that simply does not have that level of player.
It does kind of go back to what you were saying. I think you were saying it on Friday about how there's a lot of uncertainty with him is he a lottery pick or is he like a late first round pick?
Well, the way I always put it with a guy like Achiuwa, because I've heard mixed things here. Like the way I always put it is he a player or prospect? because they can often be two different things.
Yep.
Is he a player or is he a prospect? Like, sometimes your best prospects are also your great players. That's Zion Williamson. Amazing prospect, amazing player. R.J. Barrett, amazing prospect, amazing player. Ja Morant last year at Murray State, amazing player, amazing prospect. James Wiseman, I'm assuming, is going to be a great player and a great prospect. I have had people wonder, just wonder to me, like, is Precious Achiuwa more of a prospect than a player? Is he going to be a great college basketball player in this 1 year, or is he going to have moments and look more like a prospect than a player? I couldn't pretend to know, but I do think he's going to be good, and I would have him on a preseason All-AAC team. I'm a voter in the Karl Malone Award, which goes to the nation's number one power forward each year, and we had to put a preseason list of 20 together, and I put him on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know some people like to call him a wing, but for the purposes of college basketball, he is going to be a power forward. He's going to be a four. And I can tell you that we are finished compiling our list of the top 101 college basketball players for the 2019-20 season. And I'm not sure exactly where Precious goes, but he's on there. He's in the top 50, and there aren't 10 AAC players in front of him. And so, yeah, I think that's an obvious snub. He's the most obvious second Memphis player to be on a list like that. And the fact that he wasn't, again, surprising, and I also think wrong. What I do think is interesting, because as we got deeper into this list of 101 college basketball players,
mm-hmm.
like you're going, okay, if Memphis is really going to be a top 10 team in the country, which is where I have them, who would be the third player that could go on this
right,
list of 101?
Right, there's got to be, right?
Well, you would think there is. It's not clear who the third best player on Memphis is going to be. Mm-hmm. And that's if you believe Precious is going to be the second best. Based on recruiting rankings, it should go Wiseman and then Precious. And then after that, I don't think we know.
Right.
I mean, the coaching staff might know right now. I could probably send a text message and be like, who's going to be your second best player, your top three scores? And they go, unclear, but I could see it being James and then Precious and then DJ. Or James and then DJ and then Lester. Like, I don't know what it would mm-hmm. be. But it's not obvious. Whereas you look at some schools, and it's just obvious sort of the pecking order of things. Like if you look at Michigan State right now, because it's all guys who were there last year, I can basically tell you what that team's going to look like. Like Cassius Winston's going to be the best player, going to be the leading scorer. Xavier Tillman's going to take a jump, whatever. With Memphis, it's not obvious who that third best player will be. And that's if we're conceding that Precious should be the second. Okay, who's the third? Some people would argue Damian Baugh. Others would argue Boogie Ellis. Others might argue DJ Jeffries. Maybe somebody would argue Tyler Harris. I don't know.
I mean, he was freshman of the year.
It's not completely obvious, which means people go, well, if I don't even know who's the third best player on Memphis, I'll just leave. Rather than put Damian Baugh and DJ Jeffries and Boogie Ellis on it, I'll just leave all three of them off and whatever. I'm assuming that's what happened with this as well. But, yeah. James Wiseman should definitely be on it, and I would think Precious Achiuwa should be on a preseason All-AAC team as well. The fact that he wasn't, yeah, surprising to me. 535-3776 is the phone number, 535-ESPN. You got a question or a comment about the call reversal in the Memphis Temple game this weekend, about the preseason AAC poll that Houston got more number one votes in than Memphis, or rest in peace, to Blue Ding-a-ling Court. I'll take your questions, comments on any of that stuff. 535-3776. We'll do that next.
Data message rates apply. National contest. Money. It's radio.com cash time. Money. Weekdays at the top of every hour, 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. And right now, we're putting cash in your app.
All right, you got 10 minutes right now to text the word CAP, C-A-P, text CAP to the number 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. It is our radio.com cash contest. You got a chance to win a grand all week long. Right now, text CAP, C-A-P, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Your next chance is tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. before the Jeff Calkins Show. But right now, text CAP, C-A-P, to 72881 for your chance to win a grand. Good luck.
Going to a big football game? Walking around all day? Then you'll want comfortable shoes. Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. Score a touchdown with a new pair of ultra-comfortable running or walking shoes from the New Balance Memphis store. At the New Balance Memphis store, we are the champions when it comes to getting you exactly the right shoes for your needs. Are you into walking or perhaps running? Whatever your style, we'll make sure you get the right shoes with the perfect fit. It's like having a personal trainer for your feet. Come into the New Balance Memphis store and give us a chance to earn your business. We've got the most sizes, the largest selection of widths, and the inspiration to get you moving. We'll make sure you have the perfect fit, and we'll treat you like the starting QB. Our job is to make sure your feet are happy. Visit the New Balance Memphis store, located in the Cordova Shopping Center on Germantown Parkway, behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis. Your feet will thank you.
The internet. You need it. Almost every minute of the day. Because, hey, you've got shows to stream, emails to reply all to, and LOLs to, LOL. That's why you need Xfinity. You can get the fastest, most reliable internet with gig speeds available. So you can get online and get down to business faster. And Xfinity delivers enhanced network security so all your connected devices are protected. Get instant alerts when strangers are trying to hop on your network. Set curfews with parental controls and pause your Wi-Fi at dinner time. That's life with Xfinity, the best internet provider in America, according to speedtest.net. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Or get four times the speed for just $10 more a month for 12 months. Plus, add enhanced network security. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires equal bill and autopay. Ends 1-7-20. Restrictions apply. New performance starter 25 megabits per second internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
Okay, guys, it's time to step up. By now, you know it's hard to hit a golf ball or baseball with a big fat belly in the way. And when it comes to performance in the bedroom, it's time to lose it so you can use it. Time to visit Dr. Keith Amadeo at ColliervilleWeightLoss.com. Stop with all the excuses. Nothing is going to change until you get going. Go to ColliervilleWeightLoss.com and see how Dr. Keith Amadeo is batting 1,000. Call 901-221-8964 and tell him you want your free evaluation right now. No more whining about your bad back and knees hauling all those extra pounds around. Collierville Weight Loss is the no pills, no excessive exercise, no weird supplements or food place. Speaking for all the ladies here, we're waiting for you to get it together. Put that dad body on the shelf. Your sex life will thank you. Dr. Keith Amadeo has your free evaluation waiting for you. Call 901-221-8964. Visit ColliervilleWeightLoss.com today.
There's a chance your local Geico agent owns the same designer dog breed as you.
Wait, you own a Chihuahua too?
Half bulldog, half Chihuahua, 100% lovable? Oh yeah.
So many wrinkles, such a tiny face.
But there's a better chance your local Geico agent could help you out with auto, homeowners, renters, or condo insurance. Motorcycle, boat, or RV insurance too. They'll work hard to provide sound advice and significant savings. You don't need a chic, wrinkle-faced pup to do that. Local Geico agents. Call or visit yours today.
An interesting creature inhabits the flat, arid plains of many an automobile dashboard. The bobblehead. It's most agreeable and will nod along to anything, despite having no brain function. But when the bobblehead hears how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, he'll nod even more vigorously because he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Easy, bobblehead, easy. You're going to get whiplash.
Think about where you see yourself in the future. Maybe you're bouncing a ball on the beach or bouncing a grandchild on your knee. Whatever it is, your dream is uniquely yours, which is why Trustmark Tailored Wealth works with you to understand what you want to see in your future. Together, we tailor a strategic plan to help grow, preserve, and protect what you've worked so hard to earn. So see a Trustmark Tailored Wealth advisor because your future starts today. Learn more at Trustmark.com. Member FDIC.
Looking for a great breakfast in East Memphis or Germantown? This is Gary Parrish telling you to look no further than Stack's Pancake Kitchen, where they have delicious egg omelets and other favorites like shrimp and grits, French toast, breakfast egg rolls, breakfast quesadillas, and my personal favorite, the now famous Stack's Breakfast Burger. Trust me, you're not going to be disappointed in any of those things. One location, 4615 Poplar, basically Poplar and Perkins Extended. The newer spot's at 7704 Poplar in Germantown Village Square, right across from Germantown Methodist Hospital. And remember, Stack's also caters. Check the menu, stackspancakes.com.
A heart in my Tasty Honey Nut Cheerios? Cereal, you trying to tell me you love me?
Actually, it's reminding you that it can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
Wait! They can help lower cholesterol? I've been so focused on the sweet, tasty taste that I completely forgot. Now I'm in love.
Learn more about making Honey Nut Cheerios part of your heart-healthy lifestyle by picking up a box at your local grocery store.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good, it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking
Lacoste. Jeff Clark is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. We will continue to talk Memphis sports with him. Memphis Temple, controversial reversal of a call that I know people say it never comes down to one play, and perhaps it didn't, but if they don't reverse the call, you still got a chance to win. Once they do reverse the call, you got no chance to win. I'll talk to Jeff Calkins about that, about the preseason AAC poll, and about rest in peace to hashtag Blue Ding-a-ling Court. But before I talk to Jeff, I'll talk to you guys. 535-3776-535-ESPN. Let's start with Cody. Cody, it's Gary. How you doing?
Still a little heartbroken, honestly. So Saturday we had – basically, I'm still trying to figure out if the AAC has any idea what they're actually doing. I have heard from some sources that the replay official legitimately thought it was called not a catch on the field. I've heard that it be said that there wasn't enough video evidence to overturn a call, and then they did it anyway. Even in the statement that was released by the AAC, they said, well, the replay official made a judgment call. If a judgment call has to be made, if you're looking at a play and a judgment call has to be made, is that not the absolute opposite of irrefutable evidence? If it's a judgment, then it's not irrefutable. And that's – I don't know. I understand that – that one play didn't lose us the game because we did, in fact, struggle with turnovers. But the defense played a winning game. They allowed 14 points. If you don't count points off turnovers, we should have won that game. The conference took it away from us, and it's heartbreaking. And I don't really know what to do about it. Besides, try to pick yourself up and move on. But you say that, it still sucks.
It still sucks, Cody. And I think you and I are in agreement on most of this stuff. I know some people have, you know, pointed to a conspiracy, like it's the AAC is out to get Memphis. I just don't buy that at all, if only because I can't make sense of it. Like, why? If you want to tell me somebody's out to get somebody else, you got to then explain to me why they would be out to do that. Like, how does it benefit them? What is in their best interest? Like, the best interest for the AAC is to have Memphis remain undefeated, have Memphis be ranked in the top 25, have Memphis still in good position to be in a New Year's Six Bowl, all of those things. Like, if you're just strictly looking at it, what's best for the American Athletic Conference, Memphis or Temple winning that game, it's clearly Memphis winning that game. So if the AAC was, quote, out to get Memphis, it runs counter to the AAC's best interest. So I'll stop well short of that. But I will say, you know, if Mike Oresko, the AAC commissioner, is going to be out there quoted publicly saying, we have a replay official who was provided with an angle that provided irrefutable evidence, I'd be like, okay, cool, let's see it. Because I ain't seen it yet. I have seen video of something that looks like Joey Magnifico did not possess the ball before the ball hit the ground. I've seen that video. Again, makes it look like he did not possess the ball before it hit the ground. I ain't sure I've seen anything that makes it crystal clear that he didn't possess the ball before it hit the ground, but if you sent me, and I guess this is the best way I could put it, if I didn't watch the game, I don't know the score, I don't know anything about anything, and you send me video, the best angle of Joey going to the ground, trying to secure the ball, and everything that happened in that moment. Slow it down, give me the best angle, and then also provide me with the rule. Because I don't think most people in advance of this know the rule. I think now most people in Memphis who care know the rule, but I don't think 5 seconds before that happened you knew the rule. Most of you didn't. The rule is pretty clear cut. Because some people say, you know, if it hits the ground, it's incomplete. Not true. Other people were screaming, the ball never hit the ground. That doesn't appear to be true either. It appears that the ball hit the ground. So then what you're trying to determine is, did he possess the ball before it hit the ground? If so, and he never lost control of it, it can be a catch. If he didn't, then everything's moot once that ball hits the ground. If he didn't possess the ball before it hit the ground, once it hits the ground, that's an incomplete.